What's up, guys? I want to give a shout out to all the people that have been listening to the podcast for the last 2 full years, actually 3 full years. And I also want to give a shout out to all the new people. If you like the podcast, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe, leave a review, share with a friend or family member. Now, right to the episode.
I don't say this often, but I have been extremely busy lately. Today, I have 6 podcasts I'm recording. You're number 2. Yep.
Okay.
And I'm gonna leave this small conversation in the podcast because I want all you guys listening out there to know I am putting in hard work. You guys have been asking for more episodes. You've been asking for more amazing guests, and I'm bringing them to you. Today, I have a very special guest. I have Adam Lane Smith on the podcast. He's an attachment specialist who helps people to heal, connect, and build. Adam has coached clients through his attachment method for years, and he's helped people from a variety of lifestyles, from blue-collar families with marital troubles to millionaire CEOs looking for dating help. Anyone looking to fix their dating life, marriage, or overall health of all relationships. I figured you guys would have amazing questions for him, so I'm going to ask those questions for you. Adam, how are you doing today?
I am doing great today, man. I got to play with my kids, got to do this with you, get to talk to people about attachment. It is a good day when I get to help people. Dude. So I'm happy today, my friend.
So Adam, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your credentials, how you got into becoming an attachment specialist, and what you do for your clients.
Yeah. So 15 years ago, I started fixing my own attachment that I had. So attachment is the way we connect to give and receive love. And when I was a kid, I had insecurity issues. I didn't think I deserved to be loved. I didn't know how to ask for my needs to get met. I didn't know how to approach girls. Every girl I dated, she came to me. I was just like, okay. And I didn't know what to do to get through my relationships, through my friendships, build boundaries. And I said, man, I can't live like this anymore. I was miserable. So I just knuckled down and did everything I could and somehow fixed it by cracking open and sharing who I was with people, being more honest, being the jerk that I was supposed to be in those sense of those cases. And it worked. And all of a sudden, my relationships got better. And I said, what the heck did I just do? And I said, I got to learn this so I can help other people. I can make myself better. I got to figure this out. Went to graduate school, 6 years through graduate school, to get my master's degree in psychology, then 3 additional years of apprenticeship under 5 different clinicians with 3 or 4 different licensure types, 9 years to become a psychotherapist. They did not teach me about attachment. The only thing they tell you here in America with attachment is don't worry about it unless you're testing tiny children. If you have attachment issues, it will always turn into a personality disorder later, and that's all that we're going to treat, and it's untreatable anyway, so don't really worry about it. That's the general gist they give you, and most therapists have no idea about attachment because of that. So I have made it my mission, and I did when I was a licensed psychotherapist. I went around training other healthcare professionals, therapists, doctors, Medicare providers, nurses, everyone that would listen, leading seminars to train them about this thing that makes you afraid to open up and show who you really are, because you're either going to get abandoned, you're going to get attacked, you're going to get rejected, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get betrayed. Anything that could happen to you is going to happen to you if you're ever really honest about who you are. I have made it my life's mission then to go out and train and teach people. I've got almost 400,000 followers now. I do this for a living, 12, 13, 14 hours a day, and then I play with my 4 kids. So attachment is who I am.
It really is now. When we talk about attachment, you keep talking about attachment to other people. Do you help people that have attachment issues to social media, to money, to any material things in the world, or is it just primarily people?
That's a great question. So there's 2 different definitions of attachment we're playing here, and yes, both. Attachment is a special thing that humans build to say, I will get my needs met. I will attach securely to you instead of attaching insecurely. Mm-hmm. Like you and me, man, like I could go to you and say, hey, yeah, man, here's something I need. Could you help me? I trust that you will help me. I trust you won't betray me. I trust you won't resent me. We are securely attached in our relationships and we trust each other. So I don't want, if you walk away, I don't start going, man, I wonder if he's already decided he hates me. I wonder if I shouldn't have said anything like that. I wonder if he's mad at me. I haven't heard from you in 3 hours. Like, is he mad at me? Right? You go to the store. Like, if I'm your girlfriend, you go to the store and I'm sitting there like, I wonder if he's cheating on me. Like, I would cheat on me. I'm worthless. Like, why would he even be faithful to me? And you're out and she texts you and you don't get it. She's like, oh, he is. He's probably already forgot. He's probably making out with the checkout girl right now. Why wouldn't he? Because I don't deserve love. And so she's like sending you a breakup text. Like, I understand. I'll see you someday tomorrow. I'll move out right now. And you walk in the front door with like the milk and the groceries. You're like, hey, babe, what's up? And she's like, that's attachment. It's supposed to be secure, right? Or else it's not. Then when you have people who have that issue ongoing, you've got four brain chemicals that are deficient. You've got gamma aminobutyric acid, what we call GABA. You've got oxytocin, vasopressin, and you've got serotonin. All four are usually deficient when you have bad attachment because you're freaking out all the time and you don't get the bonding you need. All you've got left is the dopamine button, so you start punching it like a monkey. And that's where you're obsessed with social media, obsessed with porn, obsessed with gambling, obsessed with everything that punches the dopamine button. So both types of attachment that you talked about right there, yes, all of them.
So what's the most common form of attachment?
The most common form that we have found, it used to be secure attachment, where people can connect to each other to give and receive love. They trust themselves and say, you know, I'm not amazing, but I deserve love. I'm pretty okay. My parents trained me from infancy that when I have a need, I can just ask and people will, in reasonable measure, help me with that. And they won't hurt me and they won't betray me and they'll ask me for help when they need it. I can just relax because everything is on the table and everyone is square with each other. That's secure attachment. That used to be the most common attachment type.
Now, is that a health attachment or an unhealthy?
That is the secure attachment type. That's the one we are supposed to learn.
Interesting. I think I just had a breakthrough here because, and sorry to cut you off, hold that thought, but I was thinking attachment in a negative connotation.
Attachment
is a bad word. You don't want to be attached. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've heard of, maybe you haven't, a guy named Michael Singer. He wrote a book called The Untethered Soul, or Eckhart Tolle wrote a book called The Power of Now and A New Earth. And a common theme in these books on consciousness and mindfulness and happiness, I guess there are books on, is a lot about unattachment. I have no attachment to my Tesla. I have no attachment to my property. I have no attachment to my followers. And when you can release that attachment, you're untethered to all materialistic things. And even take it a step further, you're completely detached from your own thoughts, where you can be the watcher of your thoughts.
Exactly.
Right? That is where the magic happens. That's where enlightenment happens. That's when you are connecting to source or that higher power and able to manifest your goals and dreams. And obviously Eckhart Tolle and Michael Singer are prime examples of that. So that's kind of like my take on how this conversation is going so far. But now I learned something, that some attachment is healthy.
Yes. Attachment from a psychology lens. And this is exactly what I mean. We should all know this word because it's you. When you are born, you start crying for milk, crying for warmth. You want skin to skin contact. You want to be held. You want to be safe. And your brain says, does mom pick me up and hold me? Does she care for me? Does she nurture me? Does she protect me? Do I get comforted when I cry? Who helps me? Does dad take care of me? Does dad teach me? Am I worthy of his time? We attach to our parents, and the connection is either stable and warm and nurturing, or it's unstable or unpredictable, or they're gone. And the baby's brain breaks in one of two magical ways. If you get secure attachment, great. You learn they love you and they care for you. Or if they don't, right? Dad is gone. Mom is angry all the time. They're fighting. You get abused. You get neglected. They're stressed out and freaked out, so they can't give you warmth. They just like hover over you and protect you. Your brain can break in one of two ways. It says, I am not being cared for and my needs aren't met. Something is wrong here. Either it's my fault. The little tiny one-year-old, two-year-old will decide, this is me. Something's wrong with me. If I was better, dad would stay with me. If I was better, they would pick me up and hold me. If I was better, they wouldn't leave me in this dirty diaper for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. If I was all kinds of, and it's consistency. So all kinds of things, the brain turns inward and says, I am the problem. I don't deserve to be loved. And then these people grow up and they're like, all right, I can never ask for my needs to get met. I got to do 10 nice things for them. They'll figure out what my needs are. I got to find people with problems. Codependency comes in here. Find people with problems so they'll be so grateful of all the good things that they'll never abandon me. Endlessly cycling for fear of abandonment. The other style, avoidance style of something's not wrong with me. It's everyone else on earth is a psycho. None of them will ever act with trust, with faithfulness, with morals, with virtues. When the chips are down, they're selfish. So I got to keep them topped up and happy so they don't turn on me and betray me, but I got to keep them all out right here. And that's for the people who are eternally alone. They are the most charming people in the world. They probably aren't. Most of them are not manipulative. They're just locked out, isolated, lonely. It's okay. They're fine. They are amazing at business and horrible at dating, and they feel utterly alone in the world, and they think that's normal. This is how attachment breaks in childhood, and then you just carry that decision that you made as a child, I will never be open and vulnerable again. You carry it forward into your adult life, and you think it's a foundational belief about existence. That's the attachment we're talking about.
Well said. Well said. I can tell you've articulated these thoughts multiple times. So this is the the way I want to take the conversation, because everything we've talked about in the last 9 minutes is going to help people become more aware. It's going to help them identify where their attachment issues, challenges, I don't know what the politically correct term is. I'm going to call them attachment issues. Okay. I hope no one gets offended by me calling
it. That's the right term.
That's the hashtag.
That's the hashtag on TikTok where I play all the time. So
okay. Attachment issues. Okay. So we're helping people identify and become more aware and acknowledge not only their current attachment issues, but where these attachment issues stem from. Now, I want to pivot the conversation to action plan, to what they can do right here, right now with what they got from where they're at to either change these attachment issues, get deeper into why they are their attachment issues, where they stem from, and continue to bring some of that up so they can release it out. What is the first step, I guess, is my question for these people listening today.
I got five and a half steps. We'll lay them out. Step zero is learn about attachment, because until you've even heard this, you don't even know that it's possible that you've been wrong all your life about yourself and about others and about your role in relationships. Once people hear that, they go, wait a minute, I need to, what is this? What? I need to learn more. And they start freaking out because they're like, what is, and it shifts the foundations in their brain. The biggest problem with attachment is, number one, you must actually believe it's something that exists. And when you hear about it, you start becoming skeptical, but you kind of want to learn. Step two is this, or step one, let's say that's step zero. Step one of five. You have violated your own principles and values in order to stay safe and never be vulnerable ever again. That was your goal, overriding everything else. So when the chips are down, you either knuckle under and please people by breaking your values, or you do something outlandish to try to push people away or run away or escape that breaks your values as well. So you don't actually like yourself or respect yourself because you don't hold to core values either. And you don't think other people will either. You must define your three core values of who you are as a person that you live with. And you do this by saying, if somebody walked up and said, you are not a person of this. This is not important to you, is this? You don't ever really care about this, do you? Courage, honesty, integrity, loyalty, compassion, right? Whichever one stabs you in the heart, two to three of those are the core values you hold anyway, and that's where self-hatred comes from. Grab those values, and you need to put a phone reminder every morning that says, I am a person of blank, blank, and blank. Not, I will live to them, or, it's not a statement, it's a statement of identity. At the end of the day, you have a reminder that says, did I uphold my values today? Every single morning and every single night, you have to confront those and you will start making your decisions accordingly. Step two, you take those core values, you identify two or three people in your life that live to them. They are the exceptions in the world that they live to them. When the chips are down, they're stressed, they do it anyway. They do the right thing. These are the people you can now trust. Step three, you go to them and you have what I call the I'm an anxious person speech. You go to them and say, look, you may not know this about me. You probably do. I'm an anxious person. I'm insecure on the inside. I'm afraid of opening up. I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. I'm afraid I'm going to reveal that I'm an imposter and people will leave me. I'm afraid that I'm a burden. I'm afraid that I can't trust other people, that no one wants to help me. I'm afraid that this is not how it works, but I'm realizing that it is how it works. I want an honest, loving relationship with you where we meet each other's needs. Can you still accept me? Number one, can you still accept me? And number two, is that a relationship you want to build to? Can we do that together, please? You must not just intellectualize it. You must, on the emotional brain over here, experience it. Because your brain has years of data, of biased data that says, no one has ever wanted to help me before, so no one ever will. As you experience it with this person, that's when you start changing. And then number four, you test it. So once you've had that conversation initially, it'll change your brain a little bit. You'll freak out through the first few. This is why I teach in my coaching. I help people first fix their anxiety so that they can have these terrifying conversations. Then you fix them and then you say, okay, that was great. I will never do this again. And then you take opportunities to open up and be vulnerable with people. Test it. Test your values, right? When a decision point hits, you can say, wait a minute. Pause for a moment. You say this out loud. I have to be honest with you, but I want to make sure I do it in the right way. Give me just a moment to think about how to say this right. And people that care about you will say, all right, take your time. They'll look a little alarmed, but they'll still say, take your time. I want you to do it right. People who don't care will get mad at you. And that filters out really hard the people that you don't like and you don't want to be around. And the people who like you will applaud you for living your principles, even if they're inconvenient. People who don't like you will beg you or insult you or threaten you into breaking your principles. And then you have filtered out and you've retested your brain, proven over and over and over that opening up is actually good. People want it from you. It's how you bond with people and it makes you feel safer. And then you get all those other four brain chemicals we talked about. You stop punching the dopamine button like a monkey. This is where most guys quit their porn addiction, their alcohol problems, their gambling problems, their shopping, you know, whatever it is. This is where most people quit those addictive behaviors because they no longer have a reason for them. Step five, transfer this into your dating life. As you are dating, start being more open and honest about what you want and need with the people you're dating, with your partner, with whoever it is, and build an amazing romantic relationship that is based on those good principles. That's the only way it lasts.
Okay.
Five steps.
And there's a couple ways to learn more about these five steps, guys. If you head over to adamlanesmith.com, you can check out one of his books or both of his books, Slaying Your Fear, A Guide for People Who Grapple with Insecurity, or Exhausted Wives, Bewildered Husbands, Why Your Marriage is Hurting, and How to Blossom as a Couple. You can get both of those on Amazon. To all those people that are listening and watching on YouTube, I'm going to drop the link below. If you're listening on Audible, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, don't forget to leave a review. Now, Adam, that was a lot of information, to take in. I want you to somehow, I know it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, simplify that into the first step that our listeners can take. Because for me, for example, listen, I have attachment issues. I don't know exactly what those attachment issues are. In my head, I'm like, no, I'm attached to my stocks. You know, I check my stocks a little too much. If I lost my stocks, I'd probably, you know, be hurt. So that's one thing I think I'm attached to. There's a couple other things I think I might be attached to as well. But I know that I have a lot of room for growth. And I feel like that's why a lot of the people that are listening to me and continue to follow me over the last 8 years or so continue to, is because I'm very transparent. I'm very humble. I have a lot of humility. I know there's always room for growth. And that's why I feel so blessed and grateful to have the podcast and to interview experts like yourself, because you educate me. And I want to pass this education along to the 400 or 500 people that listen to every single episode. So let's really try to dumb it down for them. What is the first step they can take? And by the way, guys, also, if everything that Adam is saying to you sounds really good and you want to learn more, obviously head over to his website. He does have a 13-hour course that you could buy. And if you want to join his mailing list, you can do that for absolutely free. But Adam, tell us more about the first step, the easiest first step they can take.
Easiest first step is to even pause right now and say, have I been living the kind of life I want to live, or am I deeply unhappy because I'm separated from other people? Am I lonely when I'm with my friends? Am I struggling in relationships because I'm overthinking, but I can't open up and share what I'm feeling? Am I afraid to talk to people about where I'm really at?
Okay.
That's the best first step.
Amazing. And I feel like a lot of people can say yes to those questions. Because I know a lot of people are in their own head. We're all in our own head, right? So how relatable is this to consciousness awareness?
If you don't have good attachment, you cannot pursue good, full awareness of self, because you are driven by fear and driven by a decision you made when you were 1 year old that you will never be this afraid, vulnerable, or hurt ever again. That's what's driving you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys just learning more. And Adam has a ton of free resources on all of his social channels. Adam, you want to tell people where they can find you?
Oh, sure. The best place right now, honestly, is TikTok. I'm at Attachment Bro. I've got almost 300,000 followers. I do live events every single day over there of the week. I've got Instagram at Attachment Adam, where I have a bunch of carousels, more visual images for people. And I've got a giveaway contest going on there right now for the month of March. I've got YouTube at Adam Lane Smith, where I've got a ton of something like 300 free video guides over there right now, where people can immerse themselves into this. And on Twitter, at The Prometheus, I've got over there. And then, of course, my website, adamlanesmith.com, with my Attachment Bootcamp video course, my coaching, my community, my Attachment Circle community, everything's available. So I can help anyone wherever they are.
Love that. Adam, you're so knowledgeable. It's nice having conversations with people that are so sharp, so polished, dude. And it's clear as day that you know your work very, very well. And I plan on having a further conversation with you as well, because I know I always have room for growth and improvement, but this episode was very valuable to me, and I know it was to my followers as well. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with today?
Yes. If you are struggling in your relationships, it's not because you're unlovable, and it's not because other people are incapable of good faith. It's because you don't have the skills and you are bound by fear. Fix those two problems and you can have amazing relationships like you've always dreamed.
Amazing. Everyone listening on Audible, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, don't forget to leave an honest review. We recommend 5 stars. And share with a friend or family member. We're trending in Argentina. I don't know where these people from Argentina are coming from. They like the Life Coach Zach podcast. Shout out to all my Argentinians out there. Maybe I'll learn a little bit of Spanish. We can do some episodes in Espanol. Adam, thank you so much for your time today. I look forward to connecting with you again in the near future. And if there's anything I can do to help you out, you let me know.
Thank you so much, Zach. I appreciate you.